Okay, welcome back. I believe I'm recording. It's not showing me it this time like it was last time, like my voice, but the test recording gave me audio, so we're gonna say that it was. Overall, I'm happier with the mic and the sound and like the way the it all came out with this. So I'm hoping to have the same result this time. I have no idea how to add like music at the beginning or the end. Even the whole upload process was weird. I think it uploaded on its own and then I uploaded it and then it was weird. So I'm still trying to figure some stuff out, but I'm still just trying to move forward. So chapter 21 and King Arad, it's hard to see. And King Arad, the Canaanite, who lived in the south, heard that Israel had come the way of oh boy, Atharim? Atharim. We're going to go with Atharim. And he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. And Israel vowed a vow to Jehovah and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my land, then I will utterly destroy their cities. What? That didn't make any sense. He took them captive, and Israel vowed a vow to Jehovah and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Oh, I see. Okay, hand. All right. And Jehovah listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Huh. And the name of the place was called Horma. Huh. He just gave him right up. The people that turn on him at the first sign of a struggle, instead of like crying, they were like, just give us the power and we'll destroy him. So they destroy him. That's a weird contrast to how they usually act. And they move from Mount Ur by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became impatient because of the way. Are they going to revolt again? And the people spoke against God and against Moses. I said, man, he just gave you the power to destroy the Canaanites, and you're already. Let's see that with Canaan. Yeah, the Canaanites, and you're already turning on them. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul hates the light bread. Of what? Yeah, what? Is that like white bread? Is that what they mean? The light bread? And Jehovah sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. And the people came into Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against Jehovah and against you. Pray to Jehovah, and he shall turn the serpent away from us. And Moses prayed on behalf of the people, and Jehovah spoke to Moses. Make yourself a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that when anyone is bitten, when he sees it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of copper and put it on a pole, and it happened, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the copper serpent, he lived. Oh, well, that's a nice staff to have. And the sons of Israel journeyed and encamped in Oboth. I think it's Oboth. It's Obothth. Oboth. And they moved from Oboth. I immediately just jumped to Oboth. Encamped in. Oh. I don't know if I can do this one. Encamped in Lehi Abarim. So it's LJE dash Abarim. So Abarim, the second word, but what? How you pronounce LJE? I don't know. Lehi Abarim? In the wilderness that is before Moab, toward the rising of the sun. From there they pulled up and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they pulled up and camped beyond. Oh man, I'm not sure if that's Arnon or Ammon. It looks like Arnon. That R is so close to. I can't tell. It might be Ammon. Beyond Ammon, which is the wilderness that comes out of the border of the Amorite. Okay, we're going to say Ammon. Yeah, border of the Amorite. For Ammon, here it is spelled better. Ammon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorite. On account of this, it is said in the book of the Wars of Jehovah, Vehab in Supa. That must be said in the book of the Wars of Jehovah, Vehab in Supa. That must be the name of the book. And the torrents of Ammon, and the slope of the torrent beds that goes down the site of Ar and leans on the border of Moab. Ar is just Ar. Okay. On account of this, it is said in the book of Wars of Jehovah Vehab, in Supha, maybe Supha? And the torrents of Ammon, and the slope of the torrent beds that goes down the site of Ar and leans on the border of Moab. That's what Moab, okay. I thought maybe I just got that wrong through there, wasn't seeing that or reading that right. And from there they went to Beer, which is spelt just as beer. That is the well of which Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, gather the people and I will give water to them. They went to the well of Beer? Huh. Then Israel, that's weird, they call Beer would be what it is now then, and not like a healthy water. Anyway. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it. The well which the princess dug, which the nobles of the people dug with their staves at the word of the lawgiver. And they departed from the desert to Matanah. And from Matanah they went to Nahalil. And from Nahalil to Bemoth. And from Bemoth in the valley which is in the field of Moab to the top of Pisgah and looking toward the wilderness. So they went to the top of Pisgah, looking toward the wilderness. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through your land. We will not turn into a field or into a vineyard. We will not drink waters of a well. We will go in the king's highway. Maybe it's on. But the king's highway until we have passed over your border. And the Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his border. And Sihon gathered all his people and went out to meet Israel in the wilderness. And they came to Jahaz, J-H-A-Z, and fought against Israel. And Israel struck him by the mouth of the sword and seized his land from Ammon to Jabbok, to the sons of Ammon. I guess that's everyone then, huh? For the border of the sons of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all of the cities of the Amorite, in Heshbon, and in all of its daughters' villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and he fought against the former king of Moab, and had taken his land out of his hand to Ammon. Okay, make sure I said that right. On account of this, the parable speakers say, come to Heshbon. They're like, that's exclamated, like, come to Heshbon. Let the city of Sihon be built and established. They're yelling that too. For a fire has gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of the high place of Arnon. Now that's, see, that does say Arnon. Maybe it's Ammon, but it's spelled A-R-N-O-N, because like there's this, it's got the same clear separation. It's not like questionable because they're kind of close. It's just straight Arnon. But it doesn't, I mean, does that make sense? Woe to you, Moab. You are undone, O people of Shemesh? O people of Shemesh? Like, it's Jewish stuff, right? So, or Israel stuff, I'm going to say Shemesh. And he has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. We have cast them down. Heshbon has perished, even to Dibon. And we have ravaged even to Nophah, which is to Medeba. How are these words? Medeba, maybe? Medeba, Medeba, I don't know. And Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. It's not likely I'm ever going to get to go to any of these places and learn them firsthand. So to pull out like a Google Translate app, for every, I don't even know if they're spelled right. I'd like be trying to guess which one of these Greek or Hebrew words is actually that word. But anyway, and Israel, I got to turn the page. And Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Moses sent to spy out Jazer. Jazer? There's two A's, I don't know. And they took its villages and drove out the Amorite who was there. And they turned and they went the way of Bashan. And what? What do you say? And they went the way of Bashan. And Og, king of Bashan, Og, O-G, came out to meet them. He and all his people to battle at Edrei. Edrei? E-D-R-E-I? And Jehovah said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand, and all his people and his land. Oh, man. And you shall do to him as you have done to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. And they struck him and his sons and all his people until he did not have a remnant left. And they seized his land. Yeah, they just destroyed the people along the way. I mean, I'm going to guess they weren't God-fearing people, but man, they just destroyed the people along the way. Took them down at every turn. Chapter 22. And the sons of Israel, pulled up stakes and camped on the plains of the Moab beyond the Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab greatly feared because of the people, for it was many. And Moab was vexed by the presence of the sons of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this assembly is licking up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moab at the time. And he sent messengers to Balaam the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is beside the river of the land of the sons of his people, to call for him, saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt. Behold, it has covered the face of the earth, and it is setting next to me. I wanted to say sitting each time for some reason, but it says setting. I don't know why my brain was doing that to me. But yeah, and now please come, curse this people for me, for it is stronger than I. Perhaps I will prevail, that we may strike them, that I may drive them out from the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. Oh man, if he's not talking to Jehovah, he's in a lot of trouble. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian left with the rewards of the seer in their hand. The seer? That's what it says, to the seer. So they had like some kind of prophet or something. I don't even go to the seer. What do they call those? They call him the prophet to be hanging out in the temples? I'm thinking also like that movie, The Minority Report, where they, I can't remember what they got those weird folks in the tank or with the, you know, laying in a pool of water that pre-think. Are they precogs? Precognitives, something like that. Anyway, I've gone way off track here. Where was I? Oh yeah, for blessed and whoever you curse is cursed. And the elders of, did I already go through that too? And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian left with the rewards of the seer. Oh yeah, that's where I got lost, seer, in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spoke the words of Balak to him. And he said to them, stay here tonight, and I will bring back word to you, even as Jehovah may speak to me. And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt and covers the eye of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I will be able to overcome it and expel it. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for it is blessed. And Balaam rose in the morning and said to the leaders of Balak, go to your land, for Jehovah has refused to allow me to go with you. And the leaders of Moab rose and came to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. I mean, that should be a clear sign right there that you should stop. Don't, I mean, you know what I mean? So this guy, he could talk to God. God came to him. I would expect maybe we'll hear more about Balaam. Because right now, like, Moses is the only one that God comes to consistently, the people of Israel, right? So that was weird. He was able just to call out God, be like, hey, man, come over here. The dude didn't even know he had these people with him. And yet again, Balak sent more leaders, even more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, so says Balak, the son of Zippor, please do not be kept back from coming to me, for I will honor you with every much honor. Is that what it says? For I will honor you with very much honor. That is said every much honor. And all that you say to me, I will do. And please come, curse this people for me. And Balaam replied and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give to me his house full of silver and gold, I would not be able to go beyond the mouth of Jehovah my God to do anything small or great. But now, please remain here tonight, you also, and I shall know that more Jehovah may speak to me, and I shall know what more Jehovah may speak to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up, go with them, and say only the thing I speak to you. It you shall do. And Balaam rose up. Balaam, I guess that's his name. I'm saying that quite confidently now. Rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the leaders of Moab. I don't know why I paused for ass. I know it means a donkey. It struck me. It just came out of nowhere. And the anger of God glowed because he went. Well, now wait a minute. Why would he be mad at him? He said to go. He said, if they called you, rise up and go with them and say, oh, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the leaders of Moab. Well, if they were there calling on him, and the anger of God glowed because he went, and the angel of Jehovah stationed himself in the road as an enemy against him. And he was riding on his ass, and two of the servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of Jehovah standing in the road, and his sword was drawn in his hand. And the ass turned out of the road and went into a field. And Balaam struck the ass to turn it back to the road. And the angel of Jehovah stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side of the wall. My lighting's terrible, so I'm having an issue reading this. Okay, and the angel of Jehovah stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that. And the ass saw that the ass saw the angel of Jehovah, and she pushed herself to the wall and crushed the foot of Balaam against. Oh no, it doesn't say. It's supposed to say wall. It says crush the foot of Balaam against the, and then it doesn't have a word. You go to the next page, and the next word is and. So it's got to be Balaam against the wall, and again he struck her. And the angel of Jehovah went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right or to the left. And the ass saw the angel of Jehovah, and she lay down, It's the word under with an extra E on the end, but that's probably a mistake. She lay down under Balaam, and the anger of Balaam glowed, and he struck the ass with his staff. And Jehovah opened the mouth of the ass. Opened the mouth of the ass. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the ass, because you have insulted me. That's spelt wrong too. It's spelt insulted, but well, it's insulted me. If only there were a sword in my hand, now I would kill you. This guy is crazy. And the ass said to Balaam, I mean, he didn't even pause and be like, this donkey's now talking to me. Okay. And the ass said to Balaam, am I not your ass on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? was I ever known to do so to you? And he said, no. And Jehovah opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of Jehovah standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed and fell on his face. And the angel of Jehovah said to him, why have you struck your ass these three times? Boy, they're really concerned about him hitting this ass. Behold, I have come out as an enemy because your way is contrary to me. And the ass saw me and turned aside before me these three times. And if she had not turned aside, surely now I would have killed you and saved her alive. And Balaam said to the angel Jehovah, I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood against me in the way. Now if evil is in your eyes, I will turn back by myself. And the angel of Jehovah said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the sword that I speak to you, but only the word that I speak to you, it you shall speak. And Balaam went with the leaders of Balak. I mean, that's okay. So I mean, that's the same thing he was told. Like, that's what God told him. You'll go there, but only I'm going to speak. I mean, did God not think he was actually going to do it? God must have not like had faith that the guy was going to do it, because he sent an angel down there to scare him half to death and let him know. I mean, potentially kill him too if the donkey hadn't saved his life, is what it sounds like. I mean, that's crazy. Okay, and when Balak heard that Balaam had come, or Balak, I'm not sure how you say his name, and had gone out to meet him to the city of Moab, which is on the border of Ammon, or Arnon, I'm not sure anymore, which is in the outermost border, then Balak said to Balaam, sending did I not send to you? Hold on, excuse me. I got something suddenly stuck in the back of my throat. It's just been getting worse every time whatever. It's just what it is. But this doesn't make sense. Sending did I not send to you to call for you? Why did you not come to me? That's weird. Then Balak said to Balaam, sending did I not? They must not be able to translate this section real good, or they just messed up the word really bad. I mean, it doesn't even, yeah, so like even the translation, I'm sorry, I'm looking, it has like a rougher version of the English underneath, like the Hebrew and the Greek, but it's not very good in this instance, so it's not helpful. Actually, they've said more in this translation than you actually read there in what they have written down, so they're translating the translation a little loosely, I guess. But anyway, he's asking him why he didn't come. Why did you not come to me? Am I not truly able to honor you? And Balaam said to Balak, behold, I have come to you now. Am I able to speak anything at all? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I will speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to the city of Huzoth, Huzoth. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the leaders who were with him. And it happened in the morning, Balak took a Balaam and caused him to go up to the high place of Baal. And from there, he saw the farthest edge of the people. Well, that's all bad. That's the end of the chapter. Let me read that again real quick. And Balak sacrificed oxen. This is in the morning. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to the city of Huzoth. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the leaders who were with him. What does that mean? He sent for them to come? And it happened in the morning. Balak took Balaam and caused him to go up to the high places of Baal. What does that mean? And from there, he saw the farthest edge of the people. Go up to the high places of Baal. So Baal's like an evil god, right? Like, or entity, or I don't even know. Yeah, god or wannabe, whatever the hell you call it. Deity, evil, just evil. Moloch, Baal, all that. All that's bad. They're like, the Baal is part of that Balenciaga thing that went down. So that's weird that it says he goes up to the high places of Baal, because it doesn't say that there's like a tower of Baal, or like there's like a temple to Baal, or what does that mean? Do they get high in some way? Or are they meditating in some way? What do they mean by the farthest edge of the people? Does he mean, I mean, look, this could either mean they went up to like a high tower that was dedicated to Baal, right? So he maybe shouldn't have been in there. And from there they could see all the land that the people were at. Farthest edge of the people. It doesn't say the farthest edge of the land. Yeah, like maybe you could see where all the people lived around them. Or they took something or meditating in some way that took them to the high places of all. So he's like, in that way, would he be like praying to him? And there he saw the farthest edge of the people. Does that mean like his inner self? Like he was tripping? I don't know. That's crazy. That is crazy. I'm going to end there on chapter 22. Chapter 23 will be next. I'm super confused by that. Let me set that book down. I'll get back to that though. Trying to figure that out. I'm gonna look it up and see if somebody else kind of breaks it down, or if it just means like was there? Because I don't know. It's like a known city they're talking about. Was there something there that you could enter and do that in? And then everything I'm thinking is just stupid. You know? I'm overlooking it. I'm gonna create a conspiracy. But anyway, I'll be back for chapter 23. The rest of you have a great time and go with God.